We are in Hebrews. If you have your Bibles and want to follow along, we're in the 10th chapter of Hebrews. We're kind of coming right in the middle of Hebrews. And I wanted to say Happy Mother's Day. I mean, I know it's a made-up holiday in some sense, but man, I love mothers. I'm so grateful for my mom. And like all of us, you've been given the best gift ever, which is Jesus Christ for you. His blood, once and for all. That's what we've been going through in Hebrews. It's just amazing. Our sin taken away by Jesus and his once for all sacrifice, him being our high priest, his covenant that he's made in his blood for all who trust him, for us and our kids and our families, anybody who simply looks to Jesus. That's just the open truth, right? Plain, unvarnished. You who receive this Jesus, you who trust in him, you are clean. You are pure. You are good. You are righteous. You're loved. So, what I want to say is and ask, do you have confidence? You say, well, sounds like a trickier question, Dex. So I want to start, that's the start of this morning. It's the confidence we have, right? But the reality is this begins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. And I want to say the idea isn't this like, oh, you know, sometimes in the New Testament when they say since, they mean if. It's like if you have confidence, do you have it? That is not what this is saying. There is no if. There's not even a since. It just says, therefore, having confidence. How can he say that? He doesn't know what I'm feeling. Do you know what I had happen to me this week? Do you know what I'm going through? Do you know that I doubt? That's interesting, right? There's days I don't feel very confident at all. And for me, oftentimes confidence is a feeling. So it's really important as we start this morning, this is talking about, and the word confidence there is the word. It doesn't mean a feeling. He's like, therefore, since it's plainly the truth, you can almost say plainly, since openly, that this is just what it is. We speak it out because it's just true. This is the word like when the Pharisees came up to Jesus and they say, Jesus, speak plainly. Who are you? You could say confidently. That's this word. Or when Jesus, you know, Lazarus had died, and Lazarus died 3 days ago, and Jesus comes to the town and in Bethany there, and he comes up and he makes this observation and says, and Jesus told them plainly, he's dead. Duh. He died 3 days ago, Jesus. He stinketh. That's because he's just speaking something that is true, that is obviously true, that's like confidently true, that's plainly true, that's openly true. That's this word. Confidence, stating the obvious plain truth, having a knowledge of the plain truth. You know what, you guys? The sun is shining. Okay, I'm in Bellingham. That's a bad example. It's up there, though. I'm wearing a watch. Clearly, I'm wearing a watch. Well, duh, Dax, it's a watch. That's what this is, right? So we've all seen people who lack confidence. You get nervous, you're stumbling, you're unsure, you're sort of reaching around for something to hold on to. And we think, hey, with time and with repetition, they'll get better and they'll learn to depend on the reality around them. And that's because things are uncertain for us. I don't know what's coming tomorrow. I don't know if I can get a job. I don't know if I'm parenting well. Will I find what I'm looking for? Don't you bust into the YouTube song. I lack, in a sense, confidence because we want to be confident people. We want to be assured people, to have bold confidence. And when I say that, I want it in me, you know. Mostly I want to have confidence that I'm competent and good and trustworthy and prepared. My confidence is in myself. This isn't Christian. though, man, you can find a lot of Christians. So this is where we need to start this morning. This isn't the end. This is the start. Which is what? Therefore, since we have, having this confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, this plain, obvious, true, this confidence, this boldness, because it's just the truth, we plainly enter the holy places. That's where will we do, right? And no one says, oh, I'm not sure. No, that, if you're not sure, if you need confidence in that, you need to read chapter 8 and chapter 9 and the first half of chapter 10. And it's just, this is the argument. And you say, oh, wow, Jesus paid it all and it worked. But we're already there, Dax. Yes, we are. We've got confidence. I'm standing up. I'm speaking the plain truth. I plainly, you and I, we who trust Jesus, we enter the holy places. It's not about if you trust enough, if you really are secretly Jesus's. No, I'm just speaking the plain truth of what Jesus has done. Confidence to enter the holy. This is, you say, well, that, so what? I don't think I ever want to go into the holy places, Dex. No, this is more amazing than you know. Like we read that chapter in Isaiah, right? The whole idea is God is so much more than you could ever know. And for you to get into his presence. The presence where it says, God, it says in Habakkuk chapter 1, your eyes are too pure to approve evil. You cannot look on wickedness with favor. And yet I boldly come in favor. Why? Because of Jesus, so do you. That's just the plain truth. And so I declare to you, confidence is what you already have. Why? Well, by this new and living way that Jesus opened up for us through the curtain. That's a reference to the Old Testament tabernacle in the temple that had this curtain. Didn't get to go in. You couldn't go in there. That's the special place. But I'm confident that we do. I know because Jesus died and the curtain ripped in half. Because the Holy of Holies now allows me in. Most amazing confidence, plain truth, obvious confidence that we enter the holy places by what he's done for us. By what he is for you. Oh. Sanctified once and for all, perfected forever. Everything based on him. Not based on my ups and my downs. My sometimes good, sometimes bad behavior. Just a plain truth of life because of Jesus. And we talk about this a lot, and we've been through the whole argument, and we're here now. This isn't actually the point of this morning. You just got to start there. If you need confidence, if you need to hear the plain truth again, go back. Because he's saying now, having this, I've got it. Jesus Christ died for me and it worked. I have confidence because Jesus really lived and died for us and rose again for us and lives for us and has us every moment. I am his kid because I received the one way incredible love of the gift that he has for me. Ha! Ha ha! That's why we say stuff like he died for me and it works, because we're sort of getting out there the plain truth, right? Some of the strongest language in the Bible, this presentation about how Jesus has done this forever. And I hope you've seen that in these weeks. And that's today is so what? So I'm there, Dax. So what? Responses. None of these are commands. There's not a command here this morning. They kind of read them that way. But they're hugs. They're like, oh, we've got this amazing good stuff, you guys. Come on, let's go. And that's what we get to do. So I want to look at three things. Confidence, so what? And the first one is confidence, so transparent. We don't like this, but I'm telling you. Okay, let's look. This is verse 22. We're going to take one verse at a time here. This is not a huge, massive chunk of scripture. This is get the understanding of what's going on with the so what. So here's the first, transparent. What does that mean? Here. Let us, having this confidence, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Okay. I think it's kind of a worship theme. Let's draw near. It's like, come on in. It's like Hebrews, I read in one commentary, has now done the shopping, made the telephone calls, polished the silver. At last the invitation goes out. Come to the party. Huh? Yeah, it's in two ideas that are here. So this idea is let us draw near with full assurance of faith. Meaning, without doubting his finished work. Full assurance means it's not based on me. It's not based on my faith in Jesus' cleansing. Since the plain truth is he has done it, come on in. Don't stand outside. The truth is him and not me. If it was about me, about how well I studied, I wouldn't have assurance. But I do. This is the confidence. No buts, no maybes, no potential, no possibilities. You heard it, right? It's just, yes, I believe in Jesus. I'm forgiven. The only way to draw near, and it's natural to do so. Come on, let's go. And you say, well, it sounds too good, Dax. I just don't know. We feel bad for people, you know, who are kind of left outside. The illustration I thought about was the people who they really want to get into the Super Bowl, maybe, I don't know. They want to get in to the game, and it's an arena, and they got tickets, you know. And so you see some poor guy sitting there. He's looking kind of dejected, and poor person, he's outside. I wish he could get in. Wouldn't you feel a little different about that person if you saw that they're holding a ticket? All of a sudden, you're like, what? Use the stinking ticket. It's sitting right there. Come on. Come on in. The ticket is true. But that just describes this confidence, right? The other phrase is what really brings this home. Because the other phrase, let us draw near with a true heart. We want to make that into something like good. No, it means an open heart. Without hiding or pretense. That's the word we would use, would be a transparent heart. The main mark of a Christian is he agrees about God, about who he is, about how he's there, about how we're getting in, right? This is genuine and open and transparent. This is the conviction that access doesn't rest on you. It rests on Jesus. So when we say, hey, you have this confidence, it's like, yeah, be open about it. Most of the time, you know, I do hide. I give off the appearance. I give off the vibe. And the world knows this. That's their thing about Christians. They think, well, you know, a lot of Christians, it's more about them trying to be good people than it is about anything else. Like their job on earth is to be good. And so what they really don't see is that you're not actually in your activities all that much better than them. Objectively. You say, well, Dax, I think I am. Okay. We'll talk later and you can open up your life to me. But looking at my life and looking at the life of the people that I get to counsel and I get to be around and I get to know, everybody, we all, you know, if we base our life, we hide. And this is saying with an open heart, you just, with a true heart, you don't hide a thing. And most of the time we've got something which hangs heavy on our heart, something we've done or something we wish we hadn't done, something haunts us, worries us, and makes us afraid. And you're tempted to say guilty. We look at Jesus. What do we say? Paid. Done. I don't have to like defend your character or mine. I know my confidence is what? Jesus died for me. My life in Christ is based on me being able to look to him and believe it. And since I have that confidence and I've been convinced by the Bible that he actually did pay all of my sin, past, present, and future. Oh, wow. I actually don't have to hide. That's what this is saying. Let's draw near with a true heart, exactly who you are. Full assurance of faith. What's the idea? Well, our idea is we have been sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. I don't walk around going, oh, if I could only get off of these sins and away from these things, then God would bless me. If I could only get off of these habits, then God would like use me more. If I could only do this good thing, then God would bless me. Baloney. Your heart's been sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. I stand clean before you. Thousand things that I have done, my Savior sees them not. He's cleansed me, my God has. Okay. So come into the party, come as you are, you sing songs, you make melody in your heart. He has done it. He's made a way for you to be near to a living God. Because I have confidence, because I know He's done it. Hey, come near, you guys. You can do it openly. You don't have to hide. That's the first thing. Here's the second thing. We are inflexible. What? I've been going to exercise classes. One of the big things that they're working on with my silly body is to be more flexible. It's so important to be flexible as you get older. To have your core inflexible is really bad. So I think be inflexible? Are you kidding me? No, inflexible about the right stuff, you better be. What do I mean? Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Keep holding fast, because you have confidence, you've got it. Keep holding fast to the unbending confession of your hope. I mean, that may seem fairly obvious. No, we need to be encouraged too. That's what He's doing. It's not me telling you, keep having faith or you're not in. It's telling you, you have an anchor and it isn't you. Remember from Hebrews 6, the anchor of your soul? And the rope is really thick. Those who have been given confidence that we are clean and we are Christ and we're totally loved beyond belief, He says, hold fast the confession of your hope. And what He means is, don't waver in it. Don't stop agreeing with your confidence, speaking out your confidence, reminding yourself of the hope of Christ. The problem is, you know, we kind of leave that hope. We're a flitty people. We flit around like a hummingbird. We have like this, yeah, this is true. But then we zip over here for a little bit and we zip over there for a little bit. And He's like, don't flex, don't bend, stay unwavering. This is the hope. Constant pressure just to bend a little. Yeah. Jesus paid for your soul, but you'd be a little holier if you kept your cell phone off during service. Not true, right? Still just as holy, whoever that was. Don't get mad at them. You've done it too. Here's the thing. Not a single bit of my goodness, of my holiness, of my acceptedness, of my enoughness, not a single bit of it is on me and my goodness and my improvement. It's not me at all. This is where my plain open confidence is that Jesus paid it all for me. And when I start shifting, that's a bend. That's a flex. Don't flex. Without wavering, He says. Don't move from here. Don't start to flex. So yeah, Jesus, but you give into your own acts of self-righteousness, of thinking it's about what you do. Because it's His faithfulness, precious people, not your faithfulness. It's not that we need to thicken our fingers. We need to see the strength of the rope. Jesus is the faithful promiser. Our confidence, it leads to not flexing into, yeah, Jesus, but also a bit of me. Okay, I tried to get an illustration, and it's Mother's Day, so don't get mad at me. If you're a mom and your kid's at school, your heart's desire is to have lunch with your kid. So you think every morning you told your child, hey, I'll come and pick you up, kid, and I'll take you to lunch. And your mom, so you set an alarm and you make sure you don't forget because you know it's up to you to remember. Here's the thing. You're not the mom. I'm like, oh, I got to remember. I got to do stuff. I got to make sure I drive over. I got to not forget to pick up my kid. I got to do these things, you know. No. You're the kid. In our relationship with God, we're the kid. He's the parent. What do you mean? Well, he says he'll show up for you. It depends on his showing up. You don't need to set an alarm for him. It's not up to you, kid. You don't start thinking, oh man, if I got a poor test today, if I was as tardy for class number one, if I didn't wear the right clothes today, if I got in a fight in first period, all of a sudden, mom's not coming for lunch. What? I'm not saying you should do any of those things. But the showing up for lunch depends on mom and mom alone. And in this illustration, mom is God. Mom's your savior. Mom says he's showing up. I didn't say that right. I'm not accepting gender fluidity. You know, the arms on the shoulder, draw near, and confidence means you lean on your cleansed conscience in Christ. Hold fast. You're leaning on Jesus' promises for you. You don't flex. And then here's this last one that's really interesting. It's in verse 24. Is to be encouraging. This confidence we have. Encouraging, but not in maybe the way you think. Let's look at it. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encourage one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Okay, I gave you the whole thing, but let's look at that first one. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. So I just, in the sentence, when you break it apart and you look at it, okay, so this is what my confidence leads me to do. So my confidence is leading me to do what? To notice, that's consider. And the object of noticing is each other. It leads me to notice you. It leads you to notice me. We notice each other. It's not consider the how, it's consider each other. This is the only one another in the whole letter of Hebrews, by the way. So consider, look to, think about, look at each other. So we need to consider this considering. The plain openness, my confidence, Jesus paid it all, just the truth. So this once and for all sacrifice of Jesus leads us to take notice of each other. It's like, oh, you're adored by Jesus. I only get here when I'm confident. What does that mean? It means that I don't feel like I need to accomplish a thing. I'm already taken care of. I'm already clean. My works are set. My Savior has clothed me in his righteousness. I'm not trying to work on me with disciplines or some sort of diet program for heaven or some sort of, wow, now I got to make sure I get and do this. No, that's not the thought here at all. This is not command. This is, I'm already confident. So you start noticing other people. Why? Dare I say to encourage them? Encourage them that Jesus had paid it all for them. But look how he does it. It's really interesting. Let us consider each other into, it says, by being into being irritating. What? It doesn't say that. Yeah, that is what it says. It says to let us consider how to stir up one another. So I don't love the translation, so I'm trying to play with it for you a little bit so you understand what's really going on. So you say, I'm so confident. So you say, what I want to do is start noticing other people. And what I do is I'm irritating with them. Irritatingly. Loving. Good worksy. Provoking. So that to me is encouraging them. Jesus has paid it all for them. But let's consider others into this irritating, provoking thing. You're encouraged in light of your confidence in Jesus' sacrifice for you to consider that other Christians around you in this community, take our church, stir them up to poke them. That doesn't sound very nice, Dex. Well, yeah, because all the time we're into what? This world does what? This world's about merit. I will find people in our body who I like and I think are pillars of the society. I will find people who are doing a good job and go encourage the good job. That's really not what he's talking about. He's talking about being irritatingly about Christ. Be in the gift culture. Bless someone who doesn't deserve it. Encourage someone who's been laid aside. Be gospel-y. Because it's encouraging. It's irritating to my flesh to really consider the other person. You see their warts, you see their failings, and you see a precious saint. People want to be encouraged on their works and their character. Oh, he's a good man. Let me go up and encourage. I really think you're a great person. That's not encouraging them in Christ. What would be encouraging them with the confidence that Jesus paid it all? It's like, wow, here, I want to give you this. When they don't deserve it. Whoa, would you, hey, let's go to lunch because I really like to hang out with you. When you on your own set of criteria wouldn't check that box. I know what's going to happen now. When I call you up for lunch next week. No, that's not it, right? But the whole idea is that you are precious. Every person in this room is precious. I know it. You're all precious in Christ. So start considering that there's other people around you. How might you be about Jesus to them? That's what he's talking about, right? We live in a culture of self-promotion. This is the opposite. Not a command to love more yourself, not stir yourself up to good works. It's not a command at all. It's not to accomplish something. The goal is to consider that not yourself because you're set. So consider other believers. Make other people famous in Jesus. Be irritatingly not about yourself. Really think how you can help someone else rest in the love of Christ for them. Respond to the Spirit in gratitude because that's the avenue of love and good works. The people who are really getting Jesus aren't worrying about themselves. That's what he's saying. They're interested in encouraging you with what Jesus has done. So they're not usually the spokespeople or the celebrity pastors or the YouTube phenoms. They're usually the ones you never see. They're the ones that actually lift you up. So how do you do that? Well, that's what it says in verse 25. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day drawing near. So encouraging, not forsaking, right? Not neglecting, but encouraging. This is an amazing statement because our flesh says, man, I need to get to work on myself. I don't really care about meeting here. We don't get much out of this. I got to go work on the project over here. I got to do my disciplines. Yeah, no word about disciplines in this. No, I must work on myself for a while. No, you're aimed at sort of helping other people really get confident themselves in the love of Christ for them. So they don't worry about themselves, but they worship their Savior and all they do. And if you're confident, you can enter right in. You don't need anything new. You can be parakaleo, it says, encouraging. But I use that word so you'd hear it. Does it sound any like anything to you? Like you guys. Parakaleo, that's like the paraclete. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's an encourager. He's lifting up you. This is what he does. How does the Spirit lift us up? He reminds us of Jesus. Not to be like him. He reminds us of what he's done for us. He remembers your sins and your failings no more. That's my Savior. He's forgiven you. The Holy Spirit works by encouraging us with the truth of Jesus. So like the Holy Spirit, having a Jesus mindset, do you know what the Holy Spirit is encouraging you by teaching you about Jesus, by pointing you to Jesus, by lifting up Jesus? So enter in and do that too. And I'll tell you something really important. Encouraging one another means you're not neglecting meeting together. It does mean investing in church. This local community and not forsaking it. It doesn't mean don't miss a Sunday. That's not what it's saying. It means invest where you know the enoughness is proclaimed. The confidence is there. You're not guilting people to self-effort and using levers to try and get production out of people. That's the opposite of here. That's twisted. God's not about production. I got to say it. Why? Because we are. I can't tell you the number of well-meaning, like advanced in business people get, right? They do it right. And how do you do it right? You use the same principles we're talking about here. Encourage people. You encourage people, you get an obvious need and get it out there. You kind of come alongside with enabling them to do it, and then they will accomplish what you want for them. There'll be you can measure effectiveness in the message. You can look at return. That is so far from this. You know God can speak and have anything happen? He's not hoping you'll give him a good return. My confidence is I'm already his. And I look at you, and I look at you, and I look at you, and my confidence is you are too. Just by trusting Jesus, you're okay. But then I can notice and say, how can I explode in your life with a little gospel? That's really cool. That's really fun. You might even get irritated at me. That's okay. But you can. It's amazing. And I know that the day is drawing near. I know that it's happening, but I'm not looking for principles that aren't really gospel to advance or maximize or improve. I'm just about confidence. I'm already confidently speaking the plain truth. Jesus died for you and it worked, friend. There's not more you gotta be. So this is not today about this plain truth is not trying to get you more confident. It's about you have it already. We start to be aware of the gift culture that we're in. Maybe you're like, well, I just struggle to feel it, Dax. Maybe all this, I just went through this half hour with you. We're about done. You say, hey, I get it that you're saying it's not a feeling, but I don't feel it. I feel up and down, you know. So I want to say to you today, that doesn't mean you don't have it. You will go up and down. What? How can you say that, Dax? You're a bopper and a tigger. No, I say it because of the Bible. Here. By this we will know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him. This is like, I don't feel it. For whenever our heart condemns us, oh, I struggle. God is greater than our heart. He knows everything. You see who you lean on? The one who actually declares. The one who's proven. The one who did it. The one who died. The one who shed his blood. The one who's your priest. And he says, I've got you. You don't have to feel it. It's just the truth. Come back there, will you? And know that sometimes we won't. Okay, this confidence we have. And if you have it with me today, having it, that means we get to be transparent. It leads me that way. Not, I don't have it on my sleeve. I'm not making it like a badge of pride that I sin. But you know what? My sin doesn't keep me from God. I don't mind you seeing my good or my bad because my message is Jesus paid it all. And my value and yours is in him. That's one. And two, I don't waver. Man, I don't say it's about you and what you've done. I say, yeah, you know, you're Christ. As long as you clean it up, you guys, and I'll wait for 5 years and see if you've shown the new leaf yet. No, unwaveringly, my life says Jesus Christ paid it all. And my hope without regret is that he's done it all for us. And finally, oh, that it's encouraging. That I long for you to see that. I want you to see the wonder of the gospel amazement that we get to have. Do it in small ways and big, however you want to irritate people. That it's not about them. It's about what God's done for them. So that's today, three ways you can show that confidence gets revealed in this life. We got a great Savior. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for what you've done for us. We do not deserve it. Thank you that we get to have confidence, not in ourselves, but in you, in what you've done for us. Lord, help us to be encouraged ourselves in the wonder of the good news. Not that we've done a thing, but that you finished it for us. Please give us hope. Please help us draw near. Lord, please let us see how we might even ourselves display the wonder of your good news. In Jesus' precious name.